First I was a Catholic girl, loved the mass, I watched the swirl of smoke from candles burning, while Mary looked up yearning.
Hello and welcome to the Digital Freethought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM here in Knoxville, Tennessee. I'm Doubter 5, or Larry Rhodes, and our recording is on Sunday morning, July 23rd. 2023. As usual, we have our co-host Wombat on the line with us. Hello, Wombat.
Hey, it's the Wombat. I'm here all day.
Try my home. And our guests are John Richards, all the way over from England. Welcome.
Hello.
Doesn't and look Riv. Like England behind him. Doesn't look like England.
Yeah. And River, where are you from?
South Coast. Knoxville,
Wombat. Oh, okay.
Nice. Cool. Very cool. Nearby. Very
Digital Freethought Radio Hour is a talk radio show about atheism, free thought, rational thought, humanism, and the sciences. And conversely, we'll also talk about religion, religious faiths, gods, holy books, and superstition. And if you get the feeling that you're the only non-believer in your town, well, you're just not a bet on it. In Knoxville, here in the middle of the Bible Belt, we have a group of over 1,000 of us. We're the Atheist Society of Knoxville, or ASK, and we'll tell you more about us after the mid-show break. Be sure to stick around. Wombat, what's our topic today?
Dogma in strange places, and how dogma seems to keep strange bedfellows and pops up whenever you least suspect it. But what do I mean by that? I want to talk about dogmatic arguments that have popped up as in potentially some unfortunate circles regarding places where science might be science and empathy might be better places to have as participants in that conversation. How dogmatic thinking tends to like slow down progress and allow beneficial solution for all parties to exist, and how unfortunate that can be in the long run. But we have a guest who's hasn't been on the show for a while. I want to just catch up with him because he looks so more svelte and handsome. You got to look at this guy. His River, how you been? Oh, I just want to catch up with you real quick. How you been, buddy?
Busy.
I can imagine.
Yeah, went to Canada and visited a friend up there. Went to a cabaret in Minnesota. Going to D.C. this coming weekend.
Very cool.
Starting back in uni, and then just a lot of side projects from the summer that really took a lot of time.
That's just you all over.
Yeah. That sounds like you. It sounds like you have not changed.
I insist on being productive.
Do you still have your utility belt? Do you still maintain a utility belt?
The socks that had all the.
Yeah. I would have said fanny pack, but we have John Richards from the UK on the show, and he always gives me a wry eyebrow whenever I say that.
Right. I have it. It's
nice.
Somewhere over there on the counter. Yeah.
Okay, well, that's fantastic. Looks like you've had a lot of fun, too. You said you recently been to Japan?
Yes, I also went to Japan, and earlier in the year met my friend in Tokyo.
Wow.
Because she kind of sent up to Hokkaido, came back.
Very, very cool. I know how much that culture means to you. So that's really fantastic. John Richards, how you been? Your quest for chaos.
Well, as you can see, climate change has hit the south coast of the UK.
Yeah? About time, right?
I actually do have a tree like that in my garden.
Okay.
Not quite so big, but it's one of those. And how have I been? I've been busy. And I'm organizing our next event.
Ooh. It's
going to be in the Midlands near Birmingham.
Okay.
At the end of September.
Wow, you're coming all the way down to Alabama. That's lovely.
Well, Birmingham is one of those names that you've stolen from us.
I stole it. My ancestors stole it? Okay.
Like York.
That's an interesting way to point the finger there.
Yeah.
Okay.
We should have called it.
Yeah, London. There's some other ones that Well, we stole from them, but
yeah, there actually there is a London, Tennessee, I believe.
About 14 Londons in the US. Yeah.
Okay.
I've actually been to one of them.
New. Oh, London. Really?
Really?
Yes.
Were you looking around like a guy who's like, my target's bigger than this target? Come on, guys. You placed the rivers all wrong. You're not supposed to be wearing this. Okay. But John, how's your family? How has everything been going since last time we were able to catch up?
The family? Yeah. I'm home alone. The family all gone on holiday and left me. It's never been so peaceful.
Well, you know, they said there's not a bring your own atheist policy everywhere. They must have provided it where they're located. They must have already had plenty of atheists that they could just take off a shelf. And they said, we could just leave our atheists at home. It'll be worth it.
No, where they've gone is to one of the two most religious countries in the world.
Ah.
America?
Okay. Ghana. Where?
Ghana, West Africa.
Okay. And what's the other one? Is it Nigeria? Would that be number two?
Nigeria's number one. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I can tell you that. Larry, would love to catch up with you. Don't just say video games, motorcycles, and having fun times. Come on, man. Give me some strife.
Okay, working. That's all that's left. Still work 40 hours a week.
Nice.
But we're going to go see that new Indiana Jones movie this afternoon, so that should be cool.
Okay. Oh, no. Well, you grew up with Indiana Jones, so you'll have a deeper appreciation for it. Right. I hope it does you right. I hope you enjoyed it. I also love that you've been sending me texts about you enjoying Horizon Zero Dawn.
Oh, yeah. That's fantastic. The game.
Yeah?
But okay. I'm still going back to complete the map.
Huh? Any of you guys going to see the new Barbie movie?
I saw that in Oppenheimer. Fantastic.
No, but if we're on the subject of movies, I would definitely say if you have a chance to watch Nimona, it's a movie that's out on Netflix. It is the less you know about it, the better, but it's a CGI work that was originally going to be a Disney property, but Disney thought it was too gay and literally shut down the entire studio when the studio didn't want to change anything after an acquisition. And then Netflix said, listen, we'll help you finish the movie. And they did. And they, with the help of Annapurna Studios, released it on Netflix. And it's not even like obtrusively gay. It just has a gay lead. That's it. And there's like one kiss at the end of the movie. But like everything else is like so good. Story-based, emotive characters. I saw that and I saw Spider-Verse second. And I was thinking in my head, man, I could be rewatching Nimona like the entire time while I was watching Spider-Verse. I'm like, oh, this is a good movie. It's really pretty. But the story that I'm missing from Nimona was just so good. Highly
what recommend. Was the name of it again?
N-I-M-O-N-A, Nimona.
Nimona. I'll put
Yeah. Highly recommended.
Can you imagine some of the gay movies from the past, that being trying to be made now? Like boys in the band, things like that. They'd never make it past any censor at this
point. Right. Yeah.
They shut it down so hard.
It's also amazing what we take for granted in movies nowadays. Because I remember when I was in high school and there was this movie where there was a white girl and a black guy who were in a romance. And that was the hook of the whole movie. It's like, wow, interracial romance. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. Like, that's the thing.
Well, Sidney Poitier and Katharine Hepburn. No, yeah. Katharine. Yeah, it was Hepburn. Lawrence. I can't think of the other guy, but it was a heck of a movie. It was really well done back in the 60s.
Mm. Yeah. The Star Trek kiss. I don't know if you remember that, but Will Shatner kissed.
Yeah, it was Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. That's the name of that one. Yeah.
And now we have like high budget movies where it's CGI characters that have a romance. And everyone just takes it for granted. It's not going to be first page news. I think this is good. It's a good trend that we're on where like we can see diversity in different people. And we'll be talking about that or running into those themes later on in this conversation. But for me, catching up on things that have been going on with me, I've been playing a lot of pickleball. Larry, I'd recommend it. John Richard, I recommend it. River, get into it. I think you'd love it too. But of course, been playing a lot of disc golf. Not only physically playing disc golf, but watching it online. And there's an interesting debate that's going on in the disc golf world at the moment, because disc golf has two divisions. One is called MPO, which is Mixed Professional Open. It's a division that's open for everybody to play in, regardless of whether you're a man, a woman, non-binary, trans, a kid, an adult, like you could do whatever you want in the mixed division. Anybody is allowed to go in. However, since the MPO is typically has elite level events and only 200 people can register in order to play in that division, it tends to be the case that people that are most physically capable qualify to be in the MPO. And historically, that's always just been men, at least at the elite level series, when they have like a short cutoff of this about 200 participants. And so it functionally works as the male professional open, even though it's called the mixed professional open. And so what the Disc Golf Association has done is made different categories or different divisions that can recognize other players that would not necessarily have the physical capability, but the talent to still be able to play at an elite level. And so what they made was the FPO, which is the female professional open, which is open for females. And by females, and in this conversation, I mean people who were assigned female at birth, you know, don't go through male puberty and typically have physicality that's less than the general curve of physicality for people who are on testosterone or naturally produced testosterone like men. And what's happened, unfortunately, is there is a group of transgender women that feel that they identify as female and want to play in the female category and have actually been winning tournaments, but also winning long distance competitions by like hundreds of feet. And it's come to the ire of some of the female players saying, this is a threat to essentially our representation in the sport because we cannot just suddenly practice more and overcome the biological advantage that these other players have. And we would like to have better protection for our league, or else why are we here? Because we might as well just continue to not qualify for MPO if this continues. And then on the other side, there's the contentious conversation one I deeply empathize with, but also somewhat contentious between the both of them, is that I want to identify as this, and for you to not let me identify and participate in this league is transphobic, it's hateful, and is against my protections that I have in the state. And I'm going to sue the Disc Golf Association for not allowing me to participate in the league that I identify in, because how are you to tell me that I'm not a female? And so I looked that up online. I've gone through some rabbit holes on the internet trying to figure out, like, man, is there anyone that's having like a sensible conversation about this, where it's not necessarily immediately you're a bad person if you think this, or you're an evil person if you think that. And I realized that I can't find any of it. All these conversations spiral into scarily dogmatic patterns of thought that I find parallel very well with Christian conversations with regard to, if you don't believe me, you're evil, or you're going to hell, or you're a bad person if you don't think I'm right, or if my pastor's true, or you're damned, or you're a sinner. If like these terminologies that come out, and I can't just speak to the science of it.
Dogmatic thinking.
Yeah. And I'd love to point out other realms where these kinds of conversations are happening, and recognize that if we were to take up this potentially dogmatic thinking, it leaves a realm where there's just empathy and science, hopefully, behind, or at least proportionally allows more room for those voices to speak louder. And I think that could be the more constructive path to get everybody to where they want to be in a more helpful solution, at least provide the best context and the best information, rather than you're bad, you're evil, let me keep doing what I'm doing, or don't allow this to happen because they're bad and evil. How can we reach a middle ground? I always find like dogmatic thinking leaving the room is probably some of the best things that we can do. I'd like to get a roundtable thought on this concept. And if you'd love more details, I'd be happy to give it. Riv, I see you nodding your head. What do you think?
Well, I was just thinking, as you mentioned with examples, and kind of in a sense combining what I was mentioning earlier and with the dogmatic and the problem of that way of thinking, when it comes to pretty much anything, you want to be careful of echo chambers and turning off the ability to analyze alternative solutions, regardless, against bias and so on. Mm-hmm. And what came to mind was looking at outliers, not as understandably outliers, but useful for making points, and then kind of coming back in the middle and saying, okay, what can we learn from the existence of these outliers and what your perception of the aggregate is.
Yes.
And you see this all over the place. Mm. And a bit tongue-in-cheek example I didn't think of, but I think useful, is let's say LeBron James suddenly decided identify as female.
Right.
He would dominate every single female sport that was relevant in that sense. Not necessarily seem to be faster and so on, but you can see the clear physical advantage you have in a lot of things. That would be a huge outlier. You don't see that happen. But at the same time, okay.
No, I was just saying I agree with you. Please continue. I have a weird black thing where I'm like, I'm about that, or hell yeah.
I got you.
But it's just an affirmational grunt.
Yeah. But so that's like an outlier on one side, but then not even an outlier on the other perspective, but it's just taking into account the, the veil of ignorance kind of, perspective of, you were born in this place under these socioeconomic conditions, cultural conditions, your DNA, which plays, far more than I think we'd like it to play in a lot of cases. You have all these factors. You have your inculcation all around you. And yet you feel a different way than what your mind and body are not in connection. And so someone might come along and say, well, that's just your lot. That's just, those are the circumstances. You weren't born in the situation. Okay. Well, there should be some kind of medium of understanding, and specifically when it comes to hormone therapy with anatomy. There are certain peak points, right? Of course, in development, right? Puberty times and so on. You have these certain growths and formations, and there's blockers, and people are all up against that, and that's its own separate thing. But when I understand, even in grown adults, sufficient time on hormones will bring the male physique down in line to where it depends on what it is. But there's been competitions, having those sources exactly in hand, in which the cis female will win against the trans female after a lot of time has passed to have the hormones do their work. I'm not saying this is a cover-all, but
Rip,
I think there are considerations.
Would you mind if I let John Richards in? I saw somebody.
Sorry.
John, what do you think?
Well, we're skating over several areas here. I want to talk about general dogmatism first, but then sure. I'd be happy Absolutely. To join in on the trans issue. Sure.
Yes, please. I'd love your thoughts.
Okay. So I meet a lot of dogmatic people, people who are hubristic. They think they've got the righteousness and we haven't, and they're intolerant, and I don't like it. And it's not just to do with religion. It can be to do with words. I argue with a couple of people on social media, one of whom thinks that definitions are the law,
Yes.
You've got to take what it says in the dictionary or in a specific philosophical dictionary as God's given meaning. And unfortunately, he's got that backwards, because dictionaries work the other way around. They work on usage. They don't. They are not able to control what words mean. We do that, and then the dictionaries report on it. But this particular person, I'm not going to name him, but for example, he thinks that atheism only means God denial. He won't. Anybody who thinks that I'm an atheist because I am not convinced that your right. argument for your God is true.
Right.
He calls those lack theists.
He's trying to coin a new term to muddy the water or something
yeah.
like
that. Yeah, yeah. He really wants to fight up against people who deny his God.
Sure.
And it's not sitting on the fence, but simply not accepting the alternative, the polar alternative is the option. Doesn't work for him. And I've got somebody else who's a bit like that in terms of philosophy. He thinks that logical thought is boss, you know, and it takes precedence over observations.
Right, right. So, I've met people who think if we agree about this in a room together, then that must be reality, without realizing that logic is just a model, and it's and you still need to rely on observation in order to see if your model relates to actual reality or not.
Yes. So, for example, he was, if he'd been on the Nobel Committee, he would have awarded Higgs the prize about 60 years earlier for having thought up the boson explanation.
Rather than demonstrating it.
Yeah, rather than waiting for it to actually be discovered. And so that's a couple of types of people that are dogmatic in a different way.
I love that. That's a great point. That's a great selling point. There's a lot of nuance to that. Even well-meaning people can be dogmatic. It's very true. Yeah.
I want more humility. Bring in Imho, you know.
The trans debate? What do you think about this?
Oh, the trans debate. That's an interesting one. For a start, once you've been through puberty, you've got a male body.
Yeah.
It's got stronger bones. It's larger on average than the female body. It's got more muscles. It's got less fat, you know.
And generally longer limbs.
Exactly. Yeah.
It has this really beautiful thing called a thing that makes testosterone. So your testes, right? If you have testes and you go through puberty, now your testes are active. And they are literally making the thing that you can be kicked out of sports organizations if you inject that into your body illegally, right? Your body's making the performance-enhancing drugs de novo.
Yeah. Well, even if you were castrated given, you know, an ultimate amount of testosterone blockers, you can't unbuild, you can't return your skeleton to pre-puberty, I'm afraid. It's not possible. So I think we've got to accept that post-puberty trans medication isn't going to make the playing field level.
John Richards, I have this question for you before we move to Larry, because you're also a scientist. And I want to say something that I've heard from the disc golf community when they saw the trans female or the trans women players throw 100 feet further than the cis players, and they're like, that shouldn't be the case. Like, no, this is all natural. Well, let's wait until the science says it's not natural. So they waited, they looked at the current state of academia and said, do people who transition have a physical advantage over those who have never had the opportunity or chance to transition? And when the overwhelming conclusion from science that was current literature was, yes, I mean, it's testosterone. Like, we all know what this does. We all know when it kicks in the state of human development, post-puberty. And we also know that it's a very hard thing to track back from. And some people still identify and don't even do it. So how are you going to come up with those bylaws, right? Yeah. But the consensus from the players was, well, you know, that doesn't really support our point. So let's wait for more science.
Yeah. Here's the thing I want to throw into this discussion. I wonder how many athletic records in the past in the female category were actually set by men.
Help me out. How many actual records in the female category were set by men?
In the past, before we became, you know, hyperactively looking out for this, sure. I wonder, maybe 50 years ago or more.
I would say it's startlingly low, if anything, but that could be a novel thing to look up for sure. But I do know this, the disc golf organization did a internal study and then came up with their own scientific report with that they released out that they were going to base their new bylaws on regarding how much testosterone can have in your bloodstream before you're allowed to play. And it again did not agree with the point of those who would fight to have trans inclusion. And again, they said, let's wait for more science. And so in my head, it sounds like the evidence is out, but it's not the evidence that the people want to have. And so they are willing to dismiss evidence until they get the points of evidence or the outliers, as Rafe was referring to, that agrees with their point. And at that point, you're not really looking for science. You're just cherry picking for results that agree with you. And that's when I start to see science
right
get the back seat and really just be, I'm just looking for ammunition for my own dogmatic thinking to support.
If you don't consider all the evidence, then you're not doing science.
No. Thank you.
You're doing bias. Yes. Wishful thinkingality.
Wishful thinkingality. Larry, you had a lot of points. I'm sorry. What's up?
Well, no, the only point I was going to make was the one that you'd made earlier, is that testosterone is the difference. And, you know, if you inject it or use it, you know, from outside your body into your body, then it's illegal. We made it illegal for a reason. Now, you can categorize the people who fall into the different sports if you want by that routine. If you want to, the people that haven't had a choice in whether or not they have testosterone in their body, they go into one category of athletics, males generally. And the ones that haven't shouldn't be grouped with those others, like women should have their own sports. And you shouldn't, in my opinion, you shouldn't allow people who have used testosterone legally or illegally, because it's biologically natural, into an area that didn't use testosterone to boost their performance, you know, growing up.
It's, Larry, what a completely transphobic, hateful thing you just said. I can't believe you just said that. You're a terrible human being. I can't believe you're breathing right now.
I'm sure a lot of people are arrested
for this. I should sue you for this. I'm so offended. And my thing is, like, I would love for a reaction to just a reasonable scientific statement to be countered with another reasonable scientific statement rather than attacks at the person. Because generally what I find with what everyone said on this panel is that I agree. I think we can agree that there's a physicality difference, and we should just, instead of like grouping it in a, hey, here's the difference, let's work around it. With the argument is, there's a difference. How dare you see that difference? You are clearly biased and prejudiced in your thinking. I would love for this to just be acknowledged as a commonsensical point that there's a difference and work from there. Maybe we can change the names of the categories. Maybe we can come up with different divisions. Maybe we can find a way to support each other within the division. Say trans women can compete in the FPO, but they'll do it as like a subcard or like a different group that we can highlight. And since there's not enough trans women, we can have them participate with the females together and pioneer like awareness for both parties, right? But it's now so contentious that I feel like we've missed a lot of opportunities. Riv, go ahead. Riv, you want to clarify a point?
I just wanted to. So I originally had this point I was going to make. It's really useful. So in Mongolia, in their heyday of conquering and everything, it makes perhaps too light, given what all they did. But so originally, the Mongolian cis women were basically stronger and overpowered non-Mongolian cis men. And so this is an interesting thing. Not only that, but Mongolian women had, I recall, typically did better in archery than cis men did. They seem to have, on average, better just accuracy, better articulate muscle control. And so there are some things, physically speaking, that cis women did, given the situation they were born into and all the little circumstances. And then kind of zooming out from including different weight divisions and so on. When you look at the enterprise of sports competition as a whole, right? A lot of us, I think, get into this mindset of, this is perfectly fair odds. They trained, they did this, they did this. Now it's just who does the best in the field, whatever. But no, you go back to the time of year you're born in Canada, for instance. If you're born 1 year later or earlier, you would put in a different division of class. And so you go through, a year goes by, you'll be stronger. On average, you'll be a little bit stronger and, you know, taller and faster than the other kids who were your age group. The coaches will notice that, give you more attention. And so that one difference of month age will make the difference of someone who goes on to be a successful hockey star and the person who just got ignored. Right. So when it comes down to sports on the field and performance, we look at the results and not what brought it to that point. And so sports in general seems far more, rather than that, should be appreciated. It's not everyone had a fair shot at this. No, it's only the most successful and lucky and fortuitous people got to be where they were. So it's not a competition of the cream of the crop. It's a competition of the very lucky and dedicated and successful. And so when someone says, I want to do things just because I want to do them, not in every cases, but I think in some cases, they're not taking into account, how do my actions affect everyone else?
Consequences of my action. Let's get into that. I think that's a good point. Larry, why don't we go to a break and we'll come right back to this topic.
Sounds good. This is the Digital Freethought Radio Hour and WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM here in Knoxville, Tennessee. We'll be right back after this short break.
There's a certain church around, you know it well. They say a lot of people are going to hell. If you show tolerance, in hell you are put. You got a one-way ticket that Westboro will foot. Hell is full of firemen, soldiers, and teachers, philanthropists and activists and innocent preachers, celebrities and deities that ask circumcision. Because of this, I've come to an important decision. Hell, hell, I wanna go to hell. It seems a really fun place to play, but I gotta do what's right and do it every day if I wanna go to hell someday. I wanna go to hell, so I gotta do what mom and dad say. I gotta love my neighbor even if they are gay, so I can go to hell someday. Ellen's really nice, but she enjoys other ladies. Jackman doesn't mind, and so he's going to Hades. Woody Allen, obviously, cause he's a Jew. Also Princess Di, Mother Teresa too. Washington and Jefferson, and don't forget Lincoln. I can tell you now that their souls are a-sinking. Johnny Depp because he wears too much eyeliner, and Reese Witherspoon, an overweight Rob Reiner. Hell, hell, I wanna go to hell. It seems a really fun place to play, but I gotta do what's right and do it every day.
Welcome back to the Digital Freethought Radio Hour, second half. I'm Doubter 5, and we're on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Let's take just a moment to talk about the Atheist Society of Knoxville. ASK was founded in 2002, over 21 years ago, and we have over 1,000 members. We have weekly in-person meetings every Tuesday evening in Knoxville's Old City at Barley's Tap Room and Pizzeria. Look for us inside at the high top table, or if it's pretty outside, outside on the deck. You can find us online on Facebook at meetup.com or go to our website at knoxvilleatheist.org. You can just Google at Knoxville Atheists and get there. It's just that simple. By the way, if you don't live in Knoxville, you should still go to Meetup and do a search for an atheist group in your town. Don't find one? Start one. Wombat, where do you want to pick up?
I wanted to pick up right after what Riv said with regard to understanding the consequences of your actions, because they're sports don't happen in a vacuum, at least not until space sports exist. But until then, what you do affects other people. And as much as we can care about one person's personal plight or a group of a people's plight, it's still going to impact everybody else. So we have to think about how those decisions can have consequences on other groups of people. And I think there's no better example of that than for me to assess the safety of the participants. So like we've had lacrosse play. So if someone's running track and field, that's not a physical, you know, yes, it's a very physical sport, but you're not physically engaging with other players. You have your own track to run in, and largely people are disconnected from each other. But if you have lacrosse, or if I have a soccer game, or if I have MMA or boxing, I want to be as consistent with my rules as possible, but there's also the consequence of safety. If I start to, for me to be a male to say, you know what, females, you're going to just have to deal with the fact that we want to be inclusive. We're going to allow groups of people who've gone through male puberty that also identify as female and women to compete against you. And you're just going to have to deal with it. I don't lose anything from that, but a female could potentially put themselves in dramatically more danger in a situation where I should feel poorly in the event that they've signed up to some sort of combat or physical engagement where they didn't have the full consent or awareness that the people that they're participating in had perhaps had a physical advantage or some sort of hormonal experience that gives them the ability to punch or check or trip or hurt them in a way that they don't think would be fair to the general population of people that they would normally be competing against. I strongly empathize with this situation. And I think if we were to remove dogmatic thinking from the thought process and just say, hey, looks, if we're going to make a situation where this could potentially happen, what's the safest way that we can do it? Because we need to be aware of what the dangers are, which requires some honest recollection of like the scientific realities of these different groups of people. And if we can't come to an awareness of or a consensus of this is actually a point of increased risk for a group of people, then let's come up with a either better safety PPE or a completely different division that can allow these groups to interact with each other without additional harm that could needlessly be inflicted on people. Riv, what do you think?
Weight divisions.
Whoa.
Almost simple as that. You look at wrestling, you get your heavyweight, you get your lightweight, you get your midweight, and so on. You do that for a reason. Apply that to everybody.
Like, why did they do that as a reason, Riv? What's the reason behind the weight division? I just want to get that just quick consensus. What's the reason behind a weight division?
So I'm not sure that myself, but I do know there was, so it seems to be, for instance, back in the day, you had Rey Mysterio Jr. versus Kevin Nash at that famous match. And, you know, Rey Mysterio Kevin Nash, basically twice the size of Rey Mysterio Jr.
Right.
You know, spoiler alert, wrestling is, you know, kind of a show. So maybe it's not. Maybe it's just,
it's a show. It's
it's an opera.
The science is out. We're not going to offend anybody. People love being offended.
So in that match, Rey Mysterio basically was able to take down Kevin Nash, and it was kind of reversal. Kevin Nash was going up for the power slam, and then Rey Mysterio kind of did this, got him down. The ref was on the bat, he counted it.
Riv, I know you love wrestling. The answer I was looking for was just fair play. Like, we allow these weight divisions so that people can have more fair play with less potential risk of harm to them. If a heavyweight boxer fought against a middleweight or an antiweight or a strawweight, that wouldn't be fair in the sense of this guy, they're exposed to different degrees of risk. And we just, as a society, don't think that's honorable in competition. So we have people at the same weight. In the same way, I think people of the same hormonal experience, particularly just based on puberty, should be able to compete with each other, because it's such a disadvantage to train and be met with someone who, or exceeded by someone who just has, when I was 13, I existed and therefore I'm better. It's like, how are you better? It's like, well, you know, my body just did a thing, but I'm taking hormones down. I've regressed it. It's like, yeah, but still, I never had the opportunity to do that. I would love to have the opportunity to go through male puberty. Because if we look through records, John, I think the consensus we might agree on, or so I'd love to push back on, is if you look at every record that's just based on speed, strength, endurance, distance, it's typically done by a person who's gone through a male puberty.
Mostly, yeah.
I'm hard pressed to find an example where that's not the case in like any sport that's focused on physical performance, because we happen to know that there's hormones that affect physical performance. And if you make more of it than other people, you're going to have the better advantage to doing so.
Well, we are a dimorphic species. In the same way that a male lion is bigger than a female lioness, that's us. You know, if you've got the right male chromosomes, you're going to be, on average, this is an overlapping normal distribution, isn't
right.
it?
Right, right.
Females and males, but in average, the males are bigger and heavier and faster and everything. Right. So that's why they win all the records.
There's a gym that I work out at, and back when I was like 100 pounds more than I was now, that was like maybe 2 years ago, I did not have a lot of muscle mass. I didn't have a lot of strength. And I knew these women who worked out every day with me. And it's 2 years later, and I've just put on a crazy amount of muscle mass. I've lost a lot of fat. My strength has dramatically increased, but I'm not doing anything different than the girls that I'm working out with. They are in the gym with me doing almost nearly the exact same routines. We're still doing the same HIIT classes. And they're looking at me thinking like, you look so much better. I'm like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's, I'm eating. I just changed what color of jelly beans I've been eating. So I there's definitely advantage there. Larry, I know you want to go into listener comments real quick, but I want to ask you one question before we can take this on. The idea of honor in sports is something that I don't think we consider when we think about fairness, inclusion, fair competition, stuff like that. Whatever happens, just honor. Like if I'm in a boxing fight, I could pull out a knife from like one of my boxing gloves and just stab the guy. And would I win? Sure, I beat the other player, but I wouldn't be following the rules. There wouldn't be any honor there. We understand that if we can recognize an unfair advantage in an honorable sport, we would try to mitigate that so that we could have true competition between players who have access to more or less the same tools. And I find male puberty to be a very substantial tool. Whatever happens to the idea of just honorable competition between people who have the same toolkit?
Well, first of all, you seem to be thinking that it's always there. It hasn't always been there. In boxing, the coaches constantly have to check people's gloves for like sandpaper or edges or something where they can cut their opponent. So, you know, there are advantages that people will take during sports that are not honorable. But I agree with you. We should always strive for the honorable outcome, the honorable competition. And I think it's a good way to approach this particular question as well. If you've got a distinct advantage because of your biological upbringing, your sense of honor should keep you from trying to compete with people who haven't had that advantage.
To not be a room full of men coming up with a logical argument that we're not applying to reality, I would like to put up with two things. One, my argument on trans women being able to participate in sports is a sensitive issue because I want to be listening to what the females have to say about this engagement. But also, I feel like they can't speak up or protest it because we live in a social age where you can be potentially canceled on social media for just expressing what could be commonsensical scientific knowledge if it's not in the interests of a particular group that have a lot of sway online and can help you and can help to pull away sponsors that can be used to support you or affect your reputation or your career. And the other sad thing is there's also such thing as trans men. And to call this issue transphobic in a sense sort of like diminishes their point, because I have no issue of a trans man, a person with a female body who did not take testosterone but wants to participate in female sports, even though they identify as male, I have no problem with that. Because in my mind, it's just the puberty aspect. Do you understand? Is that fair? What do you think? So like if I had a female body from birth, but I identify as male, and I did not take any testosterone, but I just changed my pronouns, and I still want to be able to compete in female sports, I have no problem with that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, literally no problem. Right. Well, I guess in my mind, the competition is still fair. I have no problem with trans men competing in female sports. That's 10,000% okay. I have no issue. There's none of my alarms go off from stuff like that. What do you guys think? Small-minded thinking? What do you think?
What we're talking about here is the difference between sex and sexuality.
Mm.
Because sex is one of very few things that is actually polar. You know, 99.9% of the human race is either one or the other.
Mm.
There's a very tiny percentage of people who are indeterminate.
Believe it or not, even those indeterminates are just subsections of the main two. They're not like their own separate thing. We have two states of gametes, and then bifurcations of these two sets that make them that we call intersex. Yeah.
Well, there's been one or two probably well-documented cases of hermaphrodites, but it's negligible.
Hmm.
So, but how people choose to live, how they want to express themselves, that's sexuality, and you can impose your own choice on top of that. If you want to wear a dress, that's fine.
Yeah.
But if you want to go into the girl's toilet, that's a bit different.
Oh. That's a completely different thing. Maybe
it is a separate thing.
Yeah, that's a different thing. For me, for me on sports, I have my issue with safety and fair competition and access to like funding and recognition. I really don't care what bathroom somebody uses. And I'd be more open to, I just want access to urinals. I know that's like specifically a male thing, but I find them so bathrooms. Useful. Yeah, just let us have urinals, and I don't care what you do. You can put whatever logo you want on that sign.
You might have to put a basin in the girls' toilet.
But yeah, my basis on, and maybe that colors my perception. So like these issues that I have are based on one scientific principle, just based on access to testosterone and history of testosterone. Whether you go to different bathrooms or want to wear a dress or what pronouns you want to use, I'll follow any of those. I'm okay with it. My issue is just safety in sports and access to fair competition for all parties that are involved. And I at least want to be consistent with that. Rib, do you have final thoughts before we go into listener comments?
Yeah, just to kind of follow up on that, I wanted to be clear the nuance in which I approach it with. You know, I do think there are areas in which, you know, again, you can have, historically speaking, even modern, but in a weight division, so you can make it to where people took more testosterone, trans men, they want to maybe compete in what might be more in line with what might be, you know, their kind of competitive skill set if they've, but that's a separate thing. Mm. If the point being there is that acknowledging, I don't say reality has a lot of connotations to it, but certainly there should be the empathetic approach and yes. Accommodate where you can. Just wishing to do something does not make it fair in everyone else. So just be wholly considerate.
Right. I'll add to that because I find that a lot of people will say it's important to recognize the difference. Because a lot of people would say, I'm not racist. I see everybody equally and I'm colorblind. It's like you should be able to see that there are different races of people, because that will clue you into the treatments of each of these people and allow you to see if there's a
and histories.
Yes. And histories of groups of different people to, and let you see if Jewish people have always had an equal experience as everybody else, or Black people or white people or Mexican, Asian. Like it's important for you to be able to see that there is a difference so that you can recognize inequalities and adopt the behavior or at least a degree of empathy that can hopefully correct that. And it doesn't mean that you're a bad person if you recognize that men bodies are different than female bodies. And yeah. It doesn't rob anyone from their ability to express themselves as a person, but you should be able to freely recognize that so that we can come up with systems to benefit everybody rather than ignoring the differences and coming up with rules that are blinded to what I would consider obvious reality.
I'm a bit concerned about Riv's suggestion. No offense, Riff, that weight divisions might be the way forward, because it isn't just about the total weight.
Right.
It's about how it's distributed.
Yes.
Because in general, men have thicker skulls and heavier jaws. And if you're boxing a woman, you've definitely got an advantage, even if she's the same overall weight as you.
Absolutely correct. I was thinking Rib was talking about weight division as an example of just the men's division, how we even bifurcate that. I don't think I don't think he was saying that men and women should be in the same weight category, right? I think he's just saying, hey, we clearly separate in other divisions already. Maybe we can use that as a model to separate within a female division and have trans women be in a separate category that's also allowable in the overall group of female, but not directly competing against cis.
Well, I mean,
it is one thought what Larry mentioned earlier. I'm not entirely opposed to that. So, yeah.
Okay. I may be wrong, but I've got a vague memory that one Olympic sport has divided it along the lines of proper women and the rest.
Yeah, that could be bad. That could be a bad way of phrasing it. So right now, the Federal Association for, I'd say federal, the governing body of sports of swimming have said that there's a competitor named Leah Thomas, who was a male swimmer, got to be careful with my terminology, a swimmer, collegiate swimmer, who then came out as trans, and now she competes in the females division only maybe 3 or 4 years recently removed from transitioning, and has been crushing it. without too much surprise. And so the female competitors had two issues. One, that this person did not even go through the surgery and still had male anatomy and was still in the female's dressing room changing with all the other women. And then two, was just had demonstrated demonstrable unfair advantage with regard to swimming and was beating competitors. And so the governing body decided to side with the complainants and say, you can't have trans women participate in the female. It's going to be your birth. It's going to, you can compete in the division that you're assigned in at birth. On the flip side, in Minnesota, a competitive weightlifter, a power lifter who was male at birth, has recently won the record for deadlift, bench lift, and squat for powerlifting. And so that was sued by the female competitors who complained on the same issues. And the judge sided for the trans woman's favor. And so that set precedent in the state of Minnesota that you can compete if you just identify. And to protest this, a professional coach in powerlifting who was male decided to just show up one day, say that they identify as female on that day, and broke the record by 200 pounds in every category. And now he has, or now I think he switched back to his regular pronouns. Now he has the records for every female based powerlifting. So like the females are still upset, but they are hoping that this could hopefully highlight that there's a difference in bodies that should be recognized. And it doesn't rob people from personhood to recognize that difference. And it's a good thing to observe and look at. And what's the best way to observe and look at things? It's a scientific model. We should be relying on science in order to come up with these conclusions. John Richards, do you have a final thought before we go to listener comments?
Nope.
Larry, final thoughts before we go to listener comments real quick?
No.
Okay. So some listener comments. Hearts and love from Evangel Carol 5336. Dottish Trade Room has asked us, have you guys seen the series The Good Place that was on from 2016 to 2020? You'll find answers to the topics you point out, Ty, and he refers to that as, what are we? Just entertainment from that episode. Have you guys ever seen The Good Place?
Yeah, it's a good series. Yeah.
Good series where you can think of like the plight of humanity on Earth is just a TV show that people in heaven are clicking through. And so if someone's gone bankrupt, that's just a channel that people can experience.
Yeah. Well, what's funny about the series is that they didn't observe humanity very much. It was all like taking place right there in the place. Mm. Very, very little outside observation, which was the point of our show.
Right.
Observing from that place.
Right. And on top of that, Young Idealists left a comment on the same episode, What Are We, Just Entertainment, and said, Larry, I totally get why, or Tyrone, I totally get why you always need new things, but I would consider for a minute new things in heaven to constantly stay entertained for all of eternity. But I would also consider for a minute that sometimes what we need is something very old to give us the feeling of nostalgia. Then, with the nostalgia of old happy memories being brought back to us, we often try to recreate as we create new memories for our entertainment. So perhaps what the channel surfing of life on Earth can provide for people in heaven is a sense of nostalgia, and they'll have other stuff that they can do other than just watch TV. And that's what will keep us entertained. Larry, why are you making that face?
No, that's fine. It's just even the sense of nostalgia you get from looking back on other things will grow old if you have eternity to experience it. I mean, it's a unique feeling that you can only get, you know, so often before it gets stale, like everything else.
If you're going to do anything forever, you'll eventually do everything, right?
Uh-huh.
Heaven is just an excuse to wait until you're so bored that
to do what? There's nothing
exactly
else to do that you haven't done a thousand times.
I've done a trillion times.
Yeah. I do like the idea of selective longevity. I don't like the idea of forced immortality.
Right.
By some kind of medicine or tech. I like the idea of chosen, but that goes in a whole deeper well.
Yeah, if you've ever seen the movie Zardoz, without giving away too much, the immortals at the end of the movie were running around trying to get people to kill them once they were no longer immortal.
Oh, you interesting.
Know, end it. Please kill me.
There's an episode of Rick and Morty about that. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I want to point out, like I often do on this show, that Heaven is actually a gay club near Charing Cross in London.
it'd be weird to show up there randomly one day. It's like, here's your gay club card. Here's your token membership. Riv, any final thoughts? I saw you post one last thing, and we can get ready to start closing out the show. Go on ahead. Take the final words.
It's no pressure. Basically, the synopsis of what I just said is that I think, as a society, should take into account that no one asked or had control of where you're born in that society, what conditions. But at the same time, I think it also seems unfair to say, okay, well, due to my conditions, I'm going to impose that on everyone else without considering what everyone else's situation is. So I think it's a bit muddy and almost meaningless from one perspective, but it should just be a constant consideration of your neighbors, everyone around you, not an island, you know, and that applies across the board. It's meaningless and useful as that is.
There is a more considerate path, and we can get there more effectively if we were to just lose some of this dogmatic terminology and thinking that we are forcing on other people, and realize that we have a lot more in common. If we love these sports and we want the sport to thrive, we have a lot more in common than what our differences are. And we can work to a conclusion that can make everybody move and progress forward long term. But we can't do it if we're poking at each other and calling each other names or being rude or unkind. That's just only going to get in our way. And the dogmatic thinking tends to enforce this tribalistic us versus them. Let's look at the science. Let's come together. Let's be considerate. And I guarantee that we can come together on this. My last final words is, it's funny because in America, people are saying they're relying on Republicans to block laws that allow trans women in sports, but Republicans are also the people who are blocking females from getting abortions. So like in my head, it's like, we have these parties that just don't agree on anything. And like, you have to like, this two-party system is not working. That's my final 2 points.
And blocking key military ascension in key roles.
Yeah,
Senator Tuberville.
Don't be a one item or a one ticket voter. Like, look at the whole trend of the whole party and try to make the best you can. John Richards, what's your final thing that you'd love to plug?
Oh, plug. Okay, right. Well, it's my channel, which is called Free Thought Productions on YouTube.
Nice.
Yesterday I uploaded the latest edition of Global Atheist News.
Ooh.
And I held the Free Thought Hour show with a very good guest who is a psychiatrist at a hospital in Toronto, Canada.
Ooh, very cool.
It's well worth a watch. Yeah.
Nice.
And of course, later today, hopefully you'll be able to join me in Views on the News.
Let's do it. Hey, my cat will be there too. Larry, have you...
That's welcome.
Now that we've proven that souls are real, how long can we wait before the end of the show?
I don't know what you mean. my content, without souls, by the way, can be found at digitalfreethought.com. Be sure to click on the blog button for a radio show archives, atheist songs, and many articles on the subject. My YouTube handle is @doubter5. You can find my book, Atheism, What's It All About, on Amazon. Remember, everybody is going to somebody else's hell. The time to worry about it is when they prove that heavens and hells and souls are real. Until then, don't sweat it. Enjoy your life. And we'll see you next Wednesday night at 7 o'clock on WOZO Radio. Say bye, everybody.
Bye,
everybody. Bye.